cars,
super late models,
thunder cars,
modifies,
World of Outlaws,
Arcos.
It's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Too funny. Joe says, hey, check your mic before we start. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Race Time
Radio. You didn't check it last time. You had to unload the backup cord last week.
I know.
Well, so I said, check your mic this
time.
Look
at it. It's working just dandy, isn't it?
It's working perfect. Welcome to Race Time Radio, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, we got a great lineup for you tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun on the program tonight. The next 2 hours here live on Race Time Radio. Let me tell you who we got coming up. Of course, huge weekend coming up at Riverside International Speedway in just 6 days from now, 5 days from now. Things are going to get rolling at Riverside. A brand new season going to get rolled out. And tonight we're going to have General Manager of Riverside, Paul McLean, is going to join us on this very program. We'll talk to him about the brand new season. I know they got a ton planned. And, of course, it's going to kick all off with the Ron McGilvery Chev Buick GMC 150, the Pro Stock Tour car is going to be back in action. Those beautiful super late models, Junior. I love seeing them on that racetrack. You know the teams are bouncing off the chip.
Absolutely. They're all getting ready, and obviously they've all talked about Riverside and getting ready, and this is the precursor to the IWK 250 for all the teams. So not only is this a big race, standalone race, the Ron McGilvery race is always a standout race on its own, but a lot of the teams use it as a big test session getting and rolling into July when they roll back in there for the IWK 250. So a lot of teams try a lot of neat stuff, I imagine, for this race specifically, and even through the test sessions. So everything that takes place over there for the Ron McGilvery race is always, the spotlight is definitely shined on who hits it out of the park and who's trying some stuff for that IWK.
How much you want to bet Kenny Wallace is either going to be looking over his Twitter feed, his everything else. He'll be watching to find out what's going on at Riverside.
I
guarantee it.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody will be tagging him and stuff too, right? Hey, can't wait to see Kenny Wallace in this, rolling into July, but definitely going to be pretty neat. And I know there's a lot of Ontario guys. One in particular, I seen a post this past weekend that Jason Hathaway, that dominant car that he had last year at Jucasa Motor Speedway, but also the car that he toted out there for the IWK race, he's going to be there for the Ron McGilvery race as well.
He's
so
coming in.
There's some Ontario guys going to be keeping their eye on there as well, just like J.R. Fitzpatrick, who, has already announced that he's going to be running the IWK as well. So,
Jason had a real stout car there last year for the IWK 250. He led some of that race.
Absolutely.
Before he ended up having a little bit of, I don't know whether it was engine trouble or chassis trouble. I don't know what it was, but something happened with Jay's car and the number 3 faded back. But prior to that, man, I'll tell you what, Junior, he had a car to win.
Yeah. Well, and he set fast time, right?
Yeah.
He set fast time, and he was really quick through the heats and all the way through. And obviously that program that they had put together last year, he's had a stout program every time he's bolted into a late model, of any size.
Yeah.
But
any flavor.
Exactly. He's always built a strong program, but I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do this year with that team. He's only going to unload it a few times by the sounds of it throughout the course of the year, but he's a threat to win every time he straps in.
Well, focus in now on his super late program and his pro late program. That can't be good news for the competitors when Jay Hathaway starts going, okay, now I'm going to focus in on this. This is going to be interesting. We're going to catch up tonight with Paul McLean, General Manager of Riverside, in just mere moments, actually. We'll also hear tonight, Joe, from a guy we both know. We've watched him since he jumped into a race car. Jason Parker is going to join us tonight. Significant news for Jason Parker. He is the first NASCAR winner at Sobel Speedway. Of course, they're NASCAR sanctioned now, and they kicked off last night. Jay Parker, victory lane, both feature events.
Yeah, good for him. And obviously, he was out at Sunset Speedway right at the beginning of the year, so he's already turned some laps, knocked the rust off, and got a chance to, you know, get in behind the wheel of that 8 car. You know, didn't have the results that he wanted to over at Sunset Speedway. He didn't hold that checkered flag, but every time he unloads at the beach, he's just a rocket ship. And, you know, hats off to him. Going out there, you know, for the first time with Twin 35s, Sauble Speedway has always been the track with one feature.
Yeah.
And now to go out there and win both, hats off to him. And it'll be cool to talk to him. By the sounds of it, they had a great car count for night number one out at Sauble Speedway.
Nice. Yeah. Good deal. That's what you want, right?
Absolutely.
Cole Powell is also going to make a return trip here to Racetime Radio tonight. He's getting prepared with his Team 3 Red. Those guys are getting ready to go for their big race this coming weekend. You'll be at it, spotting for Andrew Ranger, but I'll tell you what, Cole Powell's getting set to fly around Newcastle Speedway.
He turned a lot of heads at you know, Mossport at the opening race at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. The kid came home sixth in his first ever road course race in a full-bodied stock car. Nobody expected that.
No.
You know, and now this is a place where he can jump onto an oval and everybody can say he's a contender, because he is. He's very fast. Every car that he straps into on any oval that I've ever seen him race, he's a top five car.
Yep.
And he puts himself in good equipment, aligns himself with good people. And you know, Cole Powell at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park surprised a lot of people. And I really expect him to surprise even more people when they get to Jukasa. Obviously, you know, I think everybody in the series knows that they've been testing more than anybody else.
Yeah,
I've seen video of him in a Pinty's car at Delaware, at Jukasa, at Delaware again. I've seen videos, you know, of them out there testing hardcore for, you know, his oval debut. So I'm looking forward to talking to him, seeing how many laps he turned in testing. I want to know how many tires they burned up, because by the sounds of it, he was testing quite a bit leading up to this weekend. So looking forward to catching up with Cole.
Yeah, Cole is coming up, and also in hour number two, how about a guy that finished fourth at Texas? We got Grant Enfinger coming back on this program. We haven't heard from Finger in a long time here, Junior.
Yeah, we haven't. And, you know, this definitely a great performance over at Texas Motor Speedway. Hats off to him. And going to be cool to talk some Texas stuff. And by the sounds of it, we're going to have a surprise guest somewhere in the middle of that as well.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. But let's say we kick off this program with the general manager from Riverside International Speedway. Busy guy, and I can imagine he's got all the I's just about dotted and T's crossed. We'll find out right now with Paul McLean, general manager from Riverside. What's going on tonight, Paul? You ready to go or what?
Yes, we are, Joe. We're getting ready to set up for our 49th season, my 12th season with the racetrack, but this season will be the 49th season since the track started. So pretty excitement to get going.
Oh, man. Everybody's chomping at the bit to get back to that big, beautiful speedway that you guys love calling home. How's it looking? How did it winter? Track looking good? And I can well imagine the phone would be ringing, getting ready for the Ron McGilvery Chev Buick GMC 150.
Well, as always, it had a good winter. There wasn't much snow around here. Lots of cold, but not much snow. And the staff have done a great job getting her out of the winter doldrums and all freshened up with paint and cleaned up and grass cut. And we're ready. Like I say, we're ready to rock and roll. We had some cars out earlier in the week testing, so she's ready to go.
Man, we got a lot of good-looking pro stock cars this year, as always in the tour. But, Paul, it looks like we got a bunch of new hardware, lots of new cars, maybe even some new faces we're going to see in that top five when we get to Riverside this coming weekend.
Yeah, the young guns seem to have taken over. The tour, anyway, they seem to be winning, and the older guys are there, but they haven't been able to get that checker flag waved in front of them yet, so... And that's kind of how last season ended, was the young guns. And, you know, it's great. It's great to see the sport healthy, because there is some new kids come along this year. New guy in the Rollies car, the 13, and, you know, some young guns that are going to make a good impression, I'm sure.
You mentioned cutting grass, and every time we talk, you're adding like 1,000 new campsites out back behind Riverside. If you just stop adding campsites, you wouldn't have to cut so much grass right now. You realize that, right?
I know, but we keep getting the calls. We're full. We sold out since March and for the IWK, and I think I got four or five more on my phone this weekend. So when I get in tomorrow, we'll have to – anyway, we still have a few left in the overflow, but she's – it's unbelievable that we can be up around 1,000 campers and motorhomes going to be there for the IWK.
That's incredible, and congratulations to that. Those 49 seasons and the 12 years that you've been there, that's a big testament to why you know, you're getting that turnout. You got to be off the chip, obviously, for this weekend, but looking at that IWK 250 weekend, kind of give us a little bit of a screenshot of what we're going to see that you know, for the second race out with the IWK.
Well, of course, we want to get to Ron McGilvery going first, but yes, it seems like actually the minute the Happy New Year song is sung, my phone starts ringing for this year for the IWK, and the focus of a lot is on the IWK. Like I say, right now we're well over 900 motorhomes paid for, registered, and assigned sites, and the car count, I haven't looked lately, but I think we're up already at 20 or 20 some cars registered. We know a lot more to come. Of course, we got Kenny Wallace coming this year, and I think he's going to be probably. We've had a lot of great drivers over the years that I've been there, and every one of them have been great to us and great to our team. But I think Kenny Wallace is going to bring another level, and it's the fun level because he is a character, and I think everybody's going to love Kenny.
The excitement level is going to go right off the top of the chip. I can guarantee it with Kenny Wallace there. I don't think you could have selected a better guy to come in, Paul. Not only is he a real good guy to sit back and talk to about any form of racing, but you know what? The guy can still drive a car, and he's going to be in great equipment. He could be a threat to win this year.
Well, no question. I mean, other than the current Cup guys we had, some of these guys that we've had here haven't been in a car or not in it very often. This guy probably ran 80-some races last year and will run another 80 this year. In most, a lot in the dirt car and late models, but a lot in the dirt car. This guy going all the time. He loves races.
And you know he's going to be watching what the results are and how things come along this coming weekend at Riverside. Of course, the Ron McGilvery 150 season opener at Riverside. Nobody wants to miss this, and for good cause, too. Paul, when I look back over the years of the Ron McGilvery Chevy Buick GMC 150, we've had different winners, but you got to look at that number 89, Donald Chisholm. He's got to be number one on the pick list. The guy does fantastic in this race, and he normally wins it, but there is a ton of competition. It's going to be an interesting one.
Oh, no question. The young guns, like I said earlier in the interview, that the young guns seem to be the future. They're testing. They seem to hit on something. I mean, they are good drivers too, but they seem to hit on something and tune in their cars that are making them great everywhere, not just Riverside, all the tour tracks. So, again, it's the young guns taking over, and Donald's not by any chance an older gentleman, unlike George.
Yeah.
But there's 20 years in the difference there. But some of the older guys, John Fleming, he's not old, but these guys are having a hard time keeping up with the young guns. There's no question about it. And the new technology in the cars and the way every cars were set up in the last 10 years have changed dramatically. And I think it's part of the new wave of our tour that this new setups takes testing and a lot more effort to keep the cars at that level.
Yeah, it sure does. And you mentioned George Kuskerlix. Are we going to see George this weekend in the 150 coming up?
Well, I think we are. He had a little mishap at Scotia. The car's all back together, and he tested it earlier this week. But I'm pretty sure at this point he is, unless something changes. Of course, this is lobster season for George, and he's up every morning at 5 and hauls all his traps and then comes to work at the race shop. So he's a pretty tired boy, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the field.
You know, when we were at Scotia Speed World, that was the last race. I seen George go off the end. I kind of thought he had it wove up, Paul, before he ended up going into the barrier. And even when he did, I thought, man, he didn't hit it all that hard. He should be able to continue. Man, was I wrong. When they pulled that car back off the roll, they put it on the rollaway, I seen the front end of that race car, and it was not good.
Oh, no, everything new. All rad, front clip, not the clip, the bumper, fenders, you name it, was replaced. Throttle stuck wide open on it. He had a problem with, he's put these new seat pads in for his knees, and the seat pad came loose, or I'm not sure exactly what happened. It got caught in the throttle, and she stuck her wide open, and there was no rolling it up. And then the grass was wet there, and I guess when it got into the grass, it just seemed to speed right up. Thank God it was a tire wall, not a concrete wall.
Yes, sir. I agree wholeheartedly. We can replace race car parts, but I guarantee we'll never, ever be able to replace George Koskulik. That guy is a staple on the east coast of Canada. He can still get out there and get it done. Man, I got a photo of him pointing up to the board after 150 laps, and that number 88 is at the top.
Yeah, no, he's one of a kind. I think they threw the mold away when they made him, for no question about it.
Yeah, amazing. Paul, this weekend coming up, campers have got to be, getting things fired up. It's June now. Camping is available, right, at Riverside this coming weekend?
Yes, camping this weekend. It's first come, first serve. We get about 200, so we have lots of sites. You don't have to reserve. You just come in, park in a spot, and away you go. So there's no need to reserve. We don't take reservations. The IWK is the only event that we charge and take reservations.
Yeah, if you want to get a good tune-up, you want to find out what Riverside's all about, maybe you've never been to Riverside International Speedway, just outside Antigonish, Nova Scotia, beautiful place. Come on out this coming weekend and check it out. It'll give you a good dry run for what you're going to see in the IWK 250. And I'll tell you what, this race this weekend means more to absolutely everybody. In those race cars, this is a true indication of 150 hard-fought laps. But when you got to go 250, which we're going to do in July, you better have the notes from the Ron McGillivray 150 if you think you're going to do that.
Yeah, and one of the big things between now and the IWK is obviously air temperature. I mean, we'll be a little cool. It'll be cool. I mean, but in July, it's hot, and the guys sit in the car for another 100 laps, and you may not think another 100 laps a lot, but when it's probably 20 degrees warmer, you got to be in decent shape, and it's grueling for sure.
And Junior mentioned tonight, he had heard we're going to see Jason Hathaway coming out here for the Ron McGillivray 150. That's cool. We're starting to get those guys rolling in for the season opener. That's cool.
Yeah, no question. Jason's hauling down from Ontario. I think they're bringing the Kubota display that's going to be on site, interactive display that Kubota takes around to their dealerships. That's, I think, one of Jason's main sponsors, so they're going to be on site. And we're excited to have Jason here. I think it's a tune-up for the IWK. He'll be down here for the IWK, so I'm sure that he's coming down this little test and tune for him.
Old J.R. Fitzpatrick will be on his cell phone dialing. Hey, what's happening? How's this going? How's that going? And Jay will stay tight-lipped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah,
don't share no secrets.
Jason Hathaway will say, no, things are just fine here, J.R. We'll see you in July. Yeah, amazing stuff. Paul, tickets. How do fans get tickets? Are they on sale now?
Yes, reserve and general admission tickets are on sale right now. We still have a few of the top row green seats left for the event this weekend. And of course, lots of general admission seats. We have seat eight to 10,000 people there, so there's lots of room. You can get them at the door, or you can call 863-2410, or you can buy the reserve ones online right now at riversidespeedway.ca. You can do it online, or you can call that number, and then there'll be a person there to look after you.
Absolutely. We're going to get our first look at the Napa Sportsman Series for the season two, right, this weekend.
Yeah, they're looking like they're going to have a good car count this year. They got lots of pre-registered cars, and I think they're going to put on they're a great support class for us, and they have a new title sponsor. It's the Napa Sportsman Series, but it's now the Henry's Auto Pro is the race sponsor, and he's a Napa service dealer, I guess they call themselves, and we're excited to have Henry's on board for this year, and they'll probably have 22 cars if everything goes well, and this weekend, and then the IWK, of course, the field bumps up quite a bit to close to 30 of them guys show up. So we got an exciting season this year. We got the mini. We're bringing the mini stocks back. They got a little mini tour that runs around the Maritimes, and we're going to bring them back for the NASCAR weekend and the final race of the year. So we got a good card planned for the season, and can't wait to get going.
Absolutely. We know now, too, we got the pre-race show for the IWK. So many announcements coming out. Best spot, I guess, fans, keep it tuned right here to Race Time. We'll keep you up to date. And get to riversidespeedway.ca. The announcements are going to start coming, Paul, quite frequently, I can well imagine it. We've already had a pile, but I know there's still lots more to come.
Yeah, no, as things come out, we do, you know, actually, if you go onto our website and sign up for our newsletter, we send a newsletter out as during the winter months, probably once a month, but once racing gets going, there's weekly information right up to date. I mean, if you want to know when you're going to get tickets for the IWK, get on our newsletter, because that's the first people we notify. We give them a little heads up the day before, and in previous, the reserve seats have sold out fairly quickly. We have bought the general admission seats for the IWK, but the reserve seats, once they do go on sale, they do sell very quickly, and they will go on sale starting early the week after of the Ron Mac.
Yeah, amazing. You know what? I can't wait. I just can't wait for this weekend. We're going to have the race live, so anybody that can't make it, you can count on Racetime Radio to have live flag-to-flag coverage, pre-race to post-race. You get it all on here, but you definitely got to be at the racetrack to witness these races. The Ron McGilvery Chev Buick GMC 150 kicks the season off. Paul, you haven't got many more nights. You better get some rest.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing I want to be very excited to have you guys. Matter of fact, when I was at Scotia last weekend or 2 weekends ago when we raced, I couldn't stay for the actual race, or I had to get home. And I listened to you guys from the time I pulled out of the track till I right to the final lap as I got in my driveway, and you guys do a fantastic job. And this was really the first time that I sat down and listened to flag-to-flag coverage, and it's unbelievable what you guys do and how you pull it off. And really appreciate having you guys on board to bring it to the people that can't. You know, we'd love to have you sitting in our bench in our seats, but if you can't, this is the place you need to listen on race night.
It is a testament to you guys at Riverside, because I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Riverside, none of those live races would ever happened. It was Donald that stepped out and said, you know what, let's give this a try. And you know what, this has been 9 years now. This is going to be our ninth season. So thanks to you guys. And I know we're looking forward to the weekend as always. And Paul, we thank you so much for your time tonight. It's been a gas, and this is going to be a great kickoff. I know it's going to be one of the better ones.
Yeah, no, we're excited. And maybe we should mention, and I assume this is going to happen, bring your FM your radio, correct?
Absolutely. Yep. 92.1 FM is where we're going to be broadcasting the race locally. You'll get it everywhere at the Speedway and maybe even a couple miles past the racetrack.
Yeah, it is. It comes in good, about 2 miles from the track. Because I had to go in town last year. One of the announcements and coming back in is when I picked it up on the radio. So bring your headset and listen to you guys live while you watch the race live. So.
Absolutely. Yep, I can't wait, man. We're dialed in. All we got to do is get WestJet, and we're going to be out there.
Okay, bud. We look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. That's Paul McLean, general manager of Riverside. He's tuned to Zoom, Joe.
Yeah, you know what? You can hear the excitement in his voice, as you always can. He's a great guest, but you know, you can hear the excitement in his voice for getting geared up for race number one. When we talk to him right before the IWK 250 weekend, he's going to sound tired. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But you know, it seems like every year it's you know, the week prior when we're putting a spotlight on the IWK 250 weekend, he's excited right now, and he's excited for every race. But you know, talking to Paul every year, we've talked to him for a long time.
Yep.
You know, as a precursor leading into the events. And it seems like every time rolling up to that 250, it'll be interesting to hear how many they're going to add campsite-wise.
Oh,
I keep on saying that, but
every single
year they add another, you know, 15, 20, and it's because they're trying to fit everybody in, and that is such a good problem to have.
It is.
And,
it is.
I can't wait to hear how everything goes this weekend. I'm going to be tuned in from Jucasa. I'll be up on top of the stand. land and listening to you guys and listening to everything that takes place this weekend.
You know, Discovery Channel has got a lot of great reality programs on it. I love watching Gold Rush. I know you do. And
100%.
They got a lot of really cool reality programs. You know what would make a dynamite one? Put a camera and a camera crew around Paul McLean from the beginning. I got to say from Wednesday before the IWK 250.
Absolutely.
And film him all the way through. I guarantee they would have enough footage in there to cut a full season program.
I know.
Just watching that guy and following him around.
Yep.
The job that he does and the miles he puts on in a weekend surrounding like a race like the IWK 250. Unreal.
Yeah.
I've watched him in action. I don't know how he does it,
yep.
But he does a masterful job at it, and the guy runs on nitro. He has to.
Yeah. They do such a good job with the community, right? It's not just sponsors. It's not just fans. It's not just the competitors. It's the entire package. When you put on an event like that, and really – because they're so good at putting on an event like the IWK 250, it makes them even better at putting on just the normal races like the Ron McGilvery weekends, right? And there's nothing normal about the McGilvery weekend. I just mean, you know, it's the traditional regular Saturday night for those guys. When you compare it to the IWK 250, which is a massive event and it's got absolutely everything, they bring all of that into what they do for races like the Ron McGilvery race.
Yes.
You hear they're going to bring in the Kubota display that they display at the dealers at, you know, with Jason Hathaway for 150 lap late model race. And you know, that's the type of thing that you can look forward to seeing every time you roll in the back gate at not only Riverside, but really all the East Coast tracks. They're taking notes from what Paul and those guys do at Riverside, and they're implementing it at all the East Coast tracks.
Well, if you believe that you've got the best race in, you know, in your area, in your country, in your province, whatever, I want you to go look at the IWK 250, go witness it, and then tell me and try and compare it to that race. Because I'll tell you what, the reason why I continue to call it today Canada's Ultimate Short Track Race, because I've seen a lot of races in my 30 years in this sport, and that is...
Nothing compares. I know.
It flat out doesn't compare. And there's a lot of good races. You can't misunderstand me here.
Yeah.
But that there has got to be... There is the bar right there, because the IWK 250, there just quite simply isn't another race like that that I've witnessed.
Yep. And the cool part is you're hearing... Like, I was at Sunset Speedway, and just standing up against the fence in practice.
Yeah.
And I had a group of, there was three guys walk up and we just started talking.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they're going to a few short track races this summer. And he's like, we're actually going to fly out to the IWK 250 in Riverside. And I was like, have you been there before? And they're like, no. I was like, you're in for a show.
Yeah.
And you know, it was pretty cool because you know, I didn't know them,
right.
And I'm sorry if they're listening. I didn't know who they were. We were just talking. We were just talking about racing, and I said, "Do you come out much?" And they said, "No, you know, we're gonna fly out there and take that in too." And I guess they go to a bunch of races all across Ontario, and they check out. You know, they were going to a couple of the other ones that they threw out there was Jukasa, and then they were going to go to the Zardo race at the Big Z race at Sauble Speedway.
Yep.
They were just young guys, probably like 30, 32 in there.
Cool.
And you know, but it's cool to hear stuff like that when you hear that at your local track that there's people jumping on planes and going to see a short track race.
Right.
That means it's a big deal.
Yes, sir. It does. Incredible. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, how about the first winner at Sauble Speedway in NASCAR at Sauble Speedway? We got Jason Parker going to join us on the other side of the break. He made some history last night, and we're going to talk to him about it tonight here on Race Time. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. Junior and I are going to be back in just a moment.
Hi, race fans. This is Gord Bennett, owner of Full Throttle Motor Speedway, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. We'll be right back.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Gentlemen, start your engine! The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's the Ron McGilvery Chevy Buick GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Have a go, Green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery Chevy Buick GMC 150.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at dawsondental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit bobbleheadscanada.ca.
Catch National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Canada Talks.
Sue Ann Levy, Toronto Sun writer.
Donations were down. Their sponsorships were way, way down. Their donations were down to 100,000 from 800,000 or 700,000. And everything was down. And they refused to believe that the police band had anything to do with it.
Tune into National Post Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Canada Talks. Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus right off.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, gal. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. What do you say we get to a driver that made some history just last night at Sauble Speedway? He is the first official NASCAR winner on Sauble Beach's soil here in Ontario. His name, Jason Parker. Jay, how you doing tonight? He's with us on the hotline. What's going on, brother?
Oh, I'm good, Joe. Good. Just taking an easy day. We've been working pretty hard for the last few weeks, so it's nice to take today off.
Ah, nice job. And good job on your last night, double bubble, man. 235-lap races, right? You won them both, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Narrowly, the second one by about a foot over Scott McTeer, so that was the nail-biter, that one.
You guys always seem to pull it off at the beach. You, Scott, Tom Gibbons, there's always a handful of guys up there that are just worn it out at the front. Take us back through last night. What was it like being under the NASCAR banner? Did it feel any different at all, Jay?
Oh, definitely. There's definitely some new excitement there with NASCAR being on board. I mean, Paul and the Grassel family and Mark, they've done a great thing here with bringing NASCAR on board for us. I think it's got a new spark there at Sauble Speedway now because of that. And the car count was up last night. I hope it just keeps growing and it'll be big here soon.
It'd be kind of cool to go to Charlotte, wouldn't it, at the end of all this and stand on that big stage?
Joe, that'd be awesome. I mean, when we heard that there was a chance of this happening, I was definitely on board with this. So that would be a great something to add to my racing career for sure.
Well, I also the race director. I'm the race director at Eastbound International Speedway out in Newfoundland. We are NASCAR sanctioned out there, and our champion last year was Wayne Walsh, driver of the 99. And I'll tell you what, I spoke with Wayne after he come back from Charlotte, and he was almost speechless. He couldn't believe what NASCAR did for the champions. He was so proud to not only represent Eastbound International Speedway, but to have a championship like that. He said that's better than anything he's ever won. You should see the bounce in his step now at Eastbound. He can't wait to get going again.
Yeah, there's been some guys fortunate enough from Sunset that have got to make that trip, and I've spoke with them, and they said it was an amazing amazing thing that NASCAR did for them, and for sure it's something that we're hunting for this year.
Jason, you've always had the most amount of stickers on your car. You've always done a great job on the advertising side, and I always find it kind of interesting to talk about this, but with that NASCAR banner that you're running under now, did it help you at all on the marketing and advertising side getting ready for this season?
Well, it definitely has. I mean, I've had a core group of sponsors I've had for a number of years, so going and talking with them and being able to add the NASCAR affiliation to my proposals definitely helped me get my deals. But for a new up-and-comer who's out there trying to find sponsors right now, being able to throw the NASCAR in on your deal is a huge thing for them.
Well, I can guarantee you, the boys at the beach, who got their work cut out, now that Parker's got the lead in the championship, they're all going to be gunning for you as normal, Jason. Do you feel any added pressure now? You got the two wins. Now you're the point leader. If there isn't any pressure, I guarantee it's going to be turned up.
Well, for sure. I mean, I think, Joe, and we've talked about this in the shop in the last few weeks, I think we've managed to win at least the one feature when we only had one, or one of the two, I think every year for the last 6 or 7 years on opening night. So it just goes to show my team how prepared we are, and the guys, we work hard, right? You know, we bear down at Christmas time, and we make sure we're ready, and we get our testing in, and so we typically come out of the box kind of strong, and I feel that's the key to getting rolling in the year and running for a points championship is we've got to be prepared every night, and to come out with the jump like we did last night I don't know if it's made me feel nervous or even less nervous, just because, you know, getting that one under your belt and getting going and just feeling how good that car is, it makes us feel better about going into next week, I think.
Now, did you do a lot of testing, Jason, heading into the weekend, leading up to the season opener at Sauble Speedway, or was that it? You just sort of put the setup in it, into your brand new car, and roll her out?
Well, I guess the first thing I got to say is McCall Racing Enterprises prepared this car, and Mike, typical of Mike and his guys down there, the car, right from the time we got it, was great, so... I mean, we can work on it, but when you're starting out with something as good as we did, it doesn't take long to get it dialed in. So we made a few trips to Sunset, and that's another thing that NASCAR has added to the whole mix, is now with our provincial points championships and national points championships, we're going to be hunting for more NASCAR races, which Sunset starting earlier than us gave us an opportunity to run some there. So we took advantage of those races as not only testing, but also for some NASCAR points. So we made, you know, three trips to Sunset before Sauble started. So as far as being comfortable in the car, we had some races under our belt before last night. And then, of course, we had one good test session at Sauble before we started last night. So we were fairly well prepared, and we kind of thought we had something that could compete.
How are you sitting in the Great Lakes Concrete Series right now? I don't know the results from night number one, but you guys raced on May 20th, just a few weeks back, and then your next race is at Sauble Speedway on July 1st. How are you sitting in the points in the Great Lakes Concrete Series?
I think I had a tough finish there in that one race. I think I finished 10th.
Okay.
We were struggling a bit. We ran around in the top, I don't know, two or three for a while in that race, but as the race went on, we were falling back a bit, and we decided to pit, and we came in and pitted and just couldn't make any ground after that. Car was a little off, and didn't get the finish we wanted there, but, you know, we finished the race on the lead lap, and we're 10th in points, and I can't say exactly what the point spreads are, but it wouldn't be much, so, looking forward to, it's kind of a unique schedule. We've got the first race at Sunset, then three at Sauble in a row, and then the final two at Sunset. So we're really hoping for a strong run in the three at Sauble to, you know, get back in the hunt there in the Great Lakes Concrete Series.
That's going to be interesting, Junior, to see that. You set up for three races at your home track, and then you got to head over to Sunset and try and duplicate what you did at Sauble. You better be good at both tracks.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really unique lineup for a series. You know, it's a home-at-home series, and the buzz has been incredible around that series. You know, I was over at Sunset a couple of nights helping Taylor Holdaway, and really everybody that you talked to pointed at that. You know, it's such a great bonus money type of deal throughout the middle portion of the year. And really it adds a flair. Not only that, but you also have your NASCAR points on top of that.
So
really, you know, we've been a huge supporter of the Great Lakes Concrete Series, and obviously I imagine you can echo that. Jason, the first event went off great by the sounds of it. I wasn't there, but the first event sounded like a good one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you got to come out prepared just for that series race as much as anything else, because I'm sure it's going to come down to a few points at the end, and that series, with, like you said, with the money, the extra money in that, and you know, it's drawn some big heavy hitters in that series, so you're going to have to make sure you can string together six pretty good races if you think you want to be in it at the end.
If you just tuned into Race Time Radio, let me tell you, we got Jason Parker on the hotline with us. He made history just last night at Sauble Speedway. They cracked the gates open, Mark Dilley and Paul Grizzell. Brand new season at Sauble Beach. And Jason is the first NASCAR winner. Of course, they're NASCAR sanctioned now and part of the NASCAR All-American Weekly Series. And Jay is the first guy to go to Victory Lane. He did it twice last night in Twin 35s. And that's the kind of format you get with the NASCAR Weekly program. Jay, pressure on you guys to run double features. Something happens at race number one, you got to have a good crew standing beside and ready to go to get that car back together for race number two, or you could fall out of the points pretty quick.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of respect in the late model series now. Everyone realizes, you know, we're in it. This is the beginning of the year. These cars are expensive. You know, we're racing inches apart. So people are very, I feel, respectful right now. There was one incident last night. Rick Walt got tore up a little bit. But, you know, he had a big crew there with him, and they jumped into action and got her back together for the second one. But you're absolutely right. If you get into a bad situation in the first one, it sure makes a lot of work to get out for the second one. But, you know, with the way the NASCAR points are designed, we have to get those double features in each night to be able to contend with the nights that they can run down south.
Yeah, absolutely. The sponsorship on your race car, Junior alluded to it. You got
don't ask him to list
there.
Them all. He's got 150 of them.
No.
He's got 150 sponsors.
Is,
no, I'm just joking,
it
Jay.
It is test time for Jason Parker. He hasn't got his race car in front of him right now. You got to tell us who supports you, Jay.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we had this opportunity this year to run a NG Motorsports car prepared out of McCall's. It was kind of, you know, my transition out of the APC series back into late model, you know, between Mark and the track changes and just a opportunity to be closer to home. It made sense to do this. So I got to thank Nick at NG Motorsports, and my support comes from Great Lakes Concrete, Virtue Farms, Boston Pizza, Donnie Latch at Stoltz Sales, McDonnell Fuels, Colorworks, Port Elgin, Ron Gibbons Construction, Cape Wright. Oh man, I gotta make sure. Just Foam It. I gotta hope I don't remember, forget any here, boys. But it's very important that I have them. A lot of these guys have been with me like 10 plus years, and it definitely keeps us rolling. It makes sense when you got people behind us like we do right now to keep doing it. We're having fun doing it. The boys are excited going into this year, and last night really got them fired up a little more.
Well, they're with a good car, I'll tell you that, with a good crew, good driver, and success pays dividends. And, Jay, you had great success last night. When do you head back to the track? When are you guys back on that speedway for fans to go see?
We're off this coming weekend, but then we go back the weekend after that. So, geez, help me with the date here, boys. Is that the 23rd?
May, it's the 20th. Correct. Yeah, the 16th is next weekend, so...
Yep, so yep. We're off the back on the 23rd, and then back again on the long Saturday of the long weekend with a regular points night, and then followed up by the Sunday of the July long weekend with the Great Lakes Concrete race. So that July long weekend is for us. You talked about double features. Well, we're going to run two 35 lappers on the Saturday night, and then a 75 on the Sunday night. So that's going to be when some people are going to have to earn their money on that, on the cruise those nights.
Yeah, the men will be standing, the boys will be pouting somewhere, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Now, saying you got the 16th off, what you should be doing is jumping on one of those WestJets, flying out to Newfoundland, out to our NASCAR track, showing up at the gate, borrow a car, get into the race, and get some NASCAR points out in Newfoundland. You never know what could happen.
That would be awesome, Joe. It'd be nice to do that, but I'll probably end up cutting my grass because it's just nice to have a day off.
I don't blame you, Jay. You always food for thought, though. You never know. And if you ever get that urge, all you got to do is call Patty Squires out there and say, Patty, it's Jason. I want to come out and at least experience eastbound. Can I borrow a car? And you know what? Patty is the kind of guy that would say, Jay, come on out. I'll stick you in a car and we'll get some of those NASCAR points.
See, Joe, now you're just setting me up for something like this because now you've got that in my head now. Now I'll be driving down the road thinking about that.
Well, there you go. Give you something to think about. You celebrate those victories. You and the boys, you did a great job, and congratulations on making some more history, Jay Parker.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks, guys. Great show, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, my friend. We will be in touch. That's Jason Parker, driver of the number 8 at Sauble. Big night for him, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. Big night for the entire track over there. And hats off to the guys for getting out of the gate. You know, really, this last year, obviously, was Mark Dilley and Paul Grizzell's first time, owning the track. They closed the deal late, basically, and got out of the gate kind of in the middle portion of the year. Didn't really have a whole lot of time to implement their things.
No.
And come up with creative ideas and come up with things to do on their own. And I think over the off season, obviously, every time we talked to those guys, they came up with a lot of great improvements and great things that they could do, on their end. And by the sounds of it, by all accounts, everybody that I talked to, it was a great success. Looking forward to seeing what else can come out of that season, as the year progresses. So, by the sounds of it, they've got camping at the track now, and they've got a bunch of great things happening throughout the course of the season. So hats off to them and wish them nothing but the best of luck.
Absolutely. We want to also put our best out tonight for Brittany Grizzell.
Yes, for sure.
She is a brand new mom. Congratulations to Brittany. Fans over at Sunset Speedway and Sauble, you remember watching Brittany and her number 81 fly around the racetrack. Brittany just had a baby the other day, successfully. Baby's doing well, mom's doing well, and looking forward to getting back out to the racetrack. Brittany, if you're tuned in, congratulations. We're all proud of you, and beautiful job. That little girl looks just beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, how about a mystery call? We're going to make one. You don't want to miss it. Stick around. Hopefully, the person we're calling is going to pick it up on the other end. Just hang in there. We'll be back in just a moment.
I know it goes asphalt's racing on dirt for plant potatoes. But I ain't saying that.
You already did.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Have a go, Green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're tuned in on Sirius XM channel 167, hello to you. Or how about the Performance Motorsport Network.com or Gearhead Country Radio, or maybe, just maybe, you are tuned in on demand, and you probably got it off iTunes because we're there as well. But hello to everybody out there. We're having a great time tonight in the studio. We're just dialing the number up right now. This is going to be a mystery guest, and you'll see what I mean. And hopefully we don't hear nothing. Okay, I'm going to pull this up. Okay, there we go. It's a ringing. Let's see. You go.
He might not pick up.
Oh, I'm hoping he does.
He's not expecting our call.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Is this Jeff?
What are you doing?
Is this Big Jeff?
Is this Spotter Jeff?
Hold on.
He's probably out for dinner right now, celebrating with his wife.
I was out for dinner.
Ah, there you go.
Celebrating with his wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing. So I'm going to give a little segue here and just let the audience know who we're talking to. But we're talking to a Canadian spotter that went to his first victory lane as a spotter at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend, Jeff Gottler. Jeff, yes. Congratulations, yes. From Racetime Radio. We were going to call you and set this whole deal up, but we figured it'd be better as a surprise and just give you a holler and throw you to the wolves, so to speak.
Well, let me tell you, I definitely appreciate the phone call. It definitely was a night that I'll never forget.
Jeffrey, this is another history-making moment for Canadian motorsport, really. Jeff, for listeners that don't really know Jeff, trust me when I say you've seen what he does if you followed guys like Jason Hathaway. He spotted for a lot of big teams here in Canada, but he also does a ton of spotting down in the U.S. in that NASCAR Truck Series, Xfinity.
Right.
And Jeff, you guys went to Victory Lane at Texas with Johnny Sauter. What's it feel like to be a winner now in NASCAR in the Truck Series?
Let me tell you, it was a struggle all day, and I don't know how much you guys were able to keep up on it, but we were so close on fuel, so close. So we pitted with, I think, like 56 to go, and so we just tried to stretch fuel as much as we could, and we had two cautions with like 13 to go, which for a spotter standpoint, everyone else just kills you. But having said that, if we didn't have those cautions, we wouldn't have made it, because coming into turn three, coming for the checkered, it burped a little bit. And the last thing I said to Johnny when I backstretched, Stuart Friesen was about five lengths back of us with no run. And all of a sudden, I'm watching the binoculars, Stuart's got a heck of a run on us. And he was right on our tailgate. So I was trying to let Johnny know where he was to try to block, you know, as much as we could with the checkered flag, but Johnny was able to do it, and it was just, it's one of those feelings, you just, holy moly, like, yeah, I never thought it would happen, and you know, you get to experience everything. It was down there with all the media, the hat dance, the whole nine yards, and that's, it's finally starting to sink in now, but it's pretty incredible experience to go through, and I'm very honored that Mike Bean 3 years ago first gave me my first shot with Spencer Gallagher, and I've been associated with them the last couple of years, and it's been pretty incredible.
Well, I tell you what, the easiest way to get to do more and get to win more is by winning. So it's definitely a great thing to be a part of, and, you know, hats off. I couldn't be any more happier. When I read that tweet, I didn't even send out a congratulatory tweet or nothing. I wanted to do it right here on Racetime Radio, I am proud of you, my friend. I would call you a friend any day. I'd call you a cuss word too, but that's between you and I.
That's what I would expect.
But I would never say it on the air here. I just wanted to ask you, is pit road open?
Next time around.
Next
I promise.
Time around.
No, I definitely appreciate that, and it's just been amazing. Everyone that's reached out, Even DJ called me yesterday when he got done practice, and all the tweets and messages I got. I've been pretty close with Tim Fedor. He sent me, it was Kevin Harvick's spotter, he sent me a text today just before they went green in Michigan giving me congratulations. So just everything I've been able to get back is feedback-wise from everyone has been great. But that was last week. Now we start looking ahead going to Jakarta this weekend. But it's been an incredible last couple of days. So I definitely appreciate you guys reaching out.
Well, bet you Johnny Sauter would want you back on the other end of his headset anytime you're available.
Yeah, I think Gateway. I think a couple of weeks is the next time. So we'll get together a couple more times, of course, at CPMP at the end of summer here, and we'll get to hopefully gear up to do that again.
Well, Jeffrey, congratulations on it. When Junior told me that, I said, "Hey, we got to do so. We got to get a hold of Jeff. We are a ton proud of you, my friend. You do a great job.
I appreciate it. I really do."
Well, good stuff. You take it easy. Go get Mandy now and get out there for dinner. You better buy steak tonight. She's going to want something good, man.
That's exactly what we're having.
By the way, apologize to her for us, because I don't want her yelling because we interrupted dinner.
She'll be good with it.
Say hi to her for us.
I will.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, guys.
You have a good one. We'll be in touch again.
Yes, we'll see you this weekend.
Yes, we will. That's Jeff Gothier. Right. He goes to Victory Lane with the trucks. How about that, Junior?
Yeah, congratulations to him. And look at that. On the Canadian side, involvement is huge. There's a ton of Canadians involved in the top three tiers of NASCAR in all forms of motorsports, whether it be IndyCar, whether it be Formula One. There's Canadians with their hands on the victory that you see happening every single weekend. And Jeff is a good friend of RTR, a good friend of mine, looking forward to seeing what he can put together this year. Obviously, it's cool following him along. He's got a lot of talent. I've heard him on the radio a long time and spotted against him quite a few times, and just a great guy up in the stand. Now, I will say, the line that I asked, I said, "Is pit road open?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a little backstory
inside story here.
Yeah, we're at CTMP, and I was standing beside, of course, I'm working with DJK, right?
Right.
And beside me is Brandon McReynolds, who's spotting for Noah Gregson, and then as well, Simmons spotting for DJ. And I turned and looked to the right, and I held my headset back because I'm scanning NASCAR.
Sure.
But they were talking on the radio. Whitey and Ranger were talking back and forth, and they were dragging their feet opening pit road. It took them like two and a half laps to open. And I grabbed my headset, ripped it off to the right, and I turned, and the closest guy to me was Jeff. I thought it was Brandon McReynolds.
Right.
And I said, "Hey, is pit road open?" And I looked, and it was him, and his eyes lit up, and he got this big grin. He goes, "Yep, this time." And I said, "Is it actually?" And he goes, "I should say no. I should say no." Yeah. And I tapped McReynolds on the shoulder and said, "Is pit road open?" And he goes, "Not yet." I said, and I gave him the finger.
Yeah.
And it was you're the number one finger, by the way.
Yeah, the big one.
And I kind of wagged it at him, but... It was that's a funny story, and I'm sorry for putting him on the spot like that.
Too funny.
Too cool. Congratulations to them. Obviously, congratulations to GMS and Johnny Sauter and the whole group over there.
Well, in hour number two, we're going to hear some clips from the media center because we had a Canadian finish second in that race. We'll hear from Stu a little bit later on what he had to say in the media center, along with Johnny Sauter and a lot more. But we got to throw it back to Toronto. Get you your news and highlight package. Only takes 90 seconds, and we're back for hour two. So don't you dare go anywhere. Junior and I will be back in just like 90. Stay there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader on two.
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the Sirius XM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Boom, and just like that, hour number two begins tonight. So glad you could tune in here to Race Time Radio Live. You can follow us along on Twitter too. If you're on Twitter, follow us up at Race Time Radio, or check out our Facebook page too. We always got lots happening on there. Another big weekend coming up. This coming weekend, fire us off. Oh, man, we got a busy schedule. We're going to have that Ron McGilvery Chev Buick GMC 150 live for you next Saturday. Tune in right around that 3 p.m. mark here, Eastern time, and we'll get you some pre-race coverage live from Riverside International Speedway. The Parts for Trucks Tour, you don't want to miss that. We're going to have that live coverage for you. And then next Sunday night, unfortunately, we're not going to have a show next Sunday night. I've got to leave Halifax and fly straight out to St. John's right after Riverside. So first thing Sunday morning, I'm going to be on the flight to St. John's to do the race directing at Eastbound International Speedway. So if you're out in Newfoundland, you do want to be at the racetrack next Sunday afternoon for our night number two of the season. Of course, we got rained out just 2 weeks ago. We're going to go back at it this coming Sunday afternoon. So there won't be a Race Time Radio show next Sunday, but we'll return the weekend after that. We got lots and lots coming at you. Now, here in hour number two tonight, we're going to hear from Cole Powell in just a few, 15 minutes or so. We'll get Cole on the line. He's getting prepared to go to Jucasa in the NASCAR Pinty Series. It's going to be his first time around Jucasa in one of those cars. And also coming up in hour number two, right after Cole, we're going to talk NASCAR Camping World Truck Series with a guy that finished fourth. So a top five run for Grant Enfinger, a good friend of Race Time Radio. And we're going to catch up with Grant here tonight live, Junior. So we got still lots to come.
I will say the photo that we just tweeted from the Racetime Radio account of Cole Powell.
Yes.
He looks like the grumpiest guy I've ever met. He's not.
No.
But look at this. Look at how grumpy he looks.
Oh, doesn't he? Yeah, he looks serious, doesn't he?
Oh, wow.
He looks serious.
He looks grumpy.
And he's going to be on Sirius XM.
There we go.
Look at how serious he is.
Now, I will say, big congratulations go out to Clint Bowyer, of course, just winning the shortened NASCAR race over at Michigan.
That's his second win this year.
It's his second win and rain-shortened race. Now, there was the snow-out event at Martinsville he won at, and now the rained event that he won at Michigan. So hats off to him, and just looking for Earth, Wind, and Fire. I imagine he's seen fire of somewhere in there, throughout the course of the year. But, big win for Stuart Haas, man. 1-2-3, those guys, and they were fast up front, and all the Fords were really dominant again today throughout the race over at Michigan. So hats off to them.
Just
220,
before.
217 miles an hour.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
On the entry into the corner. That's the Indy cars were at Texas this weekend.
Yep.
223, 224.
Yeah, that was nuts last night. Hinchcliffe had a good run.
The Cup guys are doing 215, 216. And the fastest I've seen was 219 into the corner, and that was Kevin Harvick. But 219 miles an hour for the Cup guys at Michigan.
That's crazy.
Just carrying ridiculous speed.
Well, before we come on the air here tonight, I heard you in the living room go, wow, look at this. Wow.
Ooh, that was a close moment for DJ.
What's going on? I stuck my head in there, and I guarantee you DJ had a different colored suit halfway down after that lap.
Yep. How about the TV time for them and APC, though?
Huge.
Congratulations to those guys.
That makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely. A great, great showing for those guys. And DJ, definitely. Wow. It was a close one.
Yeah, it sure was. Let's hear some clips now. I've got some of those stacked up here. Let's hear from Johnny Sauter after the big win at Texas. We heard from his spotter just moments ago. If you happen to have missed it, You can catch it on demand at racetimeradio.com or subscribe to us on iTunes. That's even better yet, and you'll never miss another show. But I digress. Let's hear from Johnny Sauter. He was in the media center after the big win at Texas. Here's what Johnny had to say.
Well, obviously, the restart was the most important part of it. You know, when you're battling for fuel mileage like we were, kind of puts you between a rock and a hard place because you really can't scrub your tires up, clean them up good, because you're saving fuel. At least I'm not strong enough to turn the wheel back and forth without power steering like that over and over and over again. So, you know, it kind of puts you in a tight spot there. So when they said one to go, I started scrubbing them up as best I could, and then I knew it was important to get a good restart, and we were able to do that with our ISM Connect Chevy. Just timed them a little bit different each time. This was the last one there. I took it a little deeper into the box and then got a good launch. Justin Haley gave me a great little shove there to get me out and get me clear. But I actually ran out of fuel getting into turn three on the last lap. The motor completely shut off, and I said, oh, here we go. And got into the banking, and it re-cranked and carried speed all the way through four. And then as I was coming off of four, it started stumbling and stuttering, and I was like, okay, 52, I'm going to block you all the way to the finish line. I'm going to make you push me across. So just obviously game of inches there at the end, and just can't thank everybody at GMS, GMS Fabrication, Joe and all these guys. Pit crew was awesome tonight. We just we executed with strategy and you know, led a lot of laps and four wins in eight races. So the biggest thing we got to do now is just not get complacent and keep our nose to the grindstone. And got a long way to go, so we got to stay hungry.
How about the combination there, Johnny Sauter, Jeff? Those guys would have made a great team, and obviously going to victory lane. And the whole team that Johnny Sauter's got around him, he's really making, he's including the success of GMS, right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's what he's doing. He's making things more successful by doing what he's doing.
Yeah, for sure. And really, there's no way to say it other than he was brought into the team to elevate the performance level for GMS Racing.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
that's
leading
the entire
sport and going into
the entire
GMS.
Reason Johnny Sauter is at GMS Racing. And really, it's to elevate the entire program. He's the cornerstone. He's the building block that it took to make really GMS into what it is today. And, you know, obviously they have the funding, they have the parts and pieces and the people, they hire the people, and the people and you know, the sponsors come to the series because, or to the team because of a guy like Johnny Sauter. So really, to see him having success, there's absolutely no surprise there. But really, he's on a tear this season.
Sure, and, he is.
And they're definitely lighting the lamp, and they have to be a championship favorite right now at this point in time in the season, and seeing the speed that they have, they have to be one of those guys that are circled for yeah. everybody to go to Homestead at the end of the year and compete for this championship.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. We're going to see Johnny out there. He's looking pretty good too. Grab
Absolutely.
Another championship is what he is about to do, I would believe.
Yep.
I know it's early, but he's in great form right now. And if you know Johnny Sauter, he's going to keep doing the same things that he does. He's going to be one tough customer to beat. But the next guy we're going to hear from, Canadian guy, he is super, super successful on dirt. And what is this now? His second place finish? For Stuart Friesen.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been a bridesmaid now a couple of times.
And
he
really
is going to win
on.
It. He's going to win one of these races, and he's going to do it real soon.
And not quite a teammate to GMS Racing, but an affiliate of GMS Racing. Partnered. His team is, of course, partnered with GMS, and really they're putting together some great finishes. And then the mile and a half stuff, which is a place where I wouldn't expect to see Stuart Friesen really come to life.
No.
But that's exactly what we're seeing, is him come to life on the mile and a half style races and just doing a great job behind the wheel of that 52.
I bet you he can't wait to get to Eldora.
Well, I mean...
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's been good at Eldora. He's been great at Eldora. There's no question about it. He's been there a couple of times before. But really, I bet he can't wait to get back to the mile and a half stuff.
Yeah.
Really, that's where his team is having so much success.
Well, let's hear from Stuart Friesen. This is back at the Media Center in Texas. Here's what Stewie had to say.
Yeah, we had a great race car. You know, being lined up with the GMS Fab Shop has been awesome for our HFR team. I got to thank Helmar, Chris Larson for, you know, allowing me to compete at this level. To race for wins like we are is a dream come true. It's pretty damn awesome. To win, we can win a race. We just got to, you know, execute a full night and not, you know, make mistakes and get ourselves back in the pack. So proud of my guys. I love racing with these guys. It's a great race team. We have a lot of fun, good, you know, camaraderie and stuff in the pits, and we'll get it. Just can't make mistakes.
You know what? I'm going to say something else, too. You can hear the comfort level in Stewart's voice. You know, when he first started into this, he was kind of tentative when he was getting a microphone stuffed in him, you know?
Yeah.
Listen to him now.
Yep.
He is a crafty veteran. All he's missing is that W, that one checkered flag. And I guarantee you he's going to see that checkered flag before Homestead Miami Speedway. I wouldn't doubt Stewart Friesen's going to be a winner. When do you think it's going to happen? Do you think it's going to be like Chicago?
I don't know. I like a track like Iowa.
That'll be another good one for
Friesen.
Yep.
I like a track that's super loose, that has a lot of character, that he can throw the truck around and have success at. I think that's kind of where, you know, his strength come from. Obviously Eldora, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise if he went out and won Eldora, like, at all.
Right.
And I don't really think it's a surprise if he goes out and wins anywhere, because he's in great equipment and he's definitely, you know, they're putting the ducks in the right order in the row. And I think his team is strong enough to win anywhere they show up to. But I you know, the next race out for them is Gateway. And really, Gateway is a tough track to get around.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a place where the driver can make up a lot of time by overdriving the car or the truck and by, you know, compensating with the throttle pedal as opposed to, you know, with the engineer.
Brake. Right.
With the engineer.
Yeah, with the engineer.
I feel that they have just as good a shot as anybody at Gateway. And then as well, I think that, you know, the next time they hit the mile and a halfs through the middle portion of the summer, they're going to win at the mile and a half stuff. I think that's where he is strongest right now, and I think that's going to continue.
Well, in about 20 minutes from now, we're going to continue the discussion about the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Sure.
With a guy that has won and a guy that can probably throw his name into that ring for going for another checkered flag, and that is Grant Enfinger. We're going to talk to Grant here in, give or take, 20, 25 minutes, something like that. Just so you know, he is going to come up, and he'll be with us live tonight. But we're going to switch gears right now. We're going to have a listen to, of course, Michigan. Big, big race weekend this weekend. And, Junior, they struggled with weather again. I don't know what it is about Michigan in the spring race, but they always seem to have a weather difficulty. And if I'm right, and I don't know if I am, but is this not a week ahead of where it normally is? Isn't this Michigan weekend usually a week from now?
I think they do have struggles, but, you know, the place that normally has the biggest struggles is Pocono, and Pocono didn't have all that many struggles this time.
No.
So like, when I look at the Michigan races this weekend, it rains there often. There's no question about it, and they get, you know, a lot of lake effect rain, and then obviously the southern rain that washes up from the south. They get hit from all different angles, but when you look at Michigan, they struggled hard this weekend with weather, and both races, you know, on the top two side
were affected
by rain in a big way, and both were rain shortened. You know, you gotta give credit where credit's due. They stuck it out, and the coverage was bang on. And I think NASCAR is getting better at this whole deal of informing fans when where the races take place.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Let's hear from the winner then of the Xfinity race. It was rain shortened, but it was Austin Dillon in victory lane, breaking a 52 race drought for that NASCAR Xfinity team. Let's hear from Austin Dillon. Here he is.
Sure. Well, it's always amazing to get to victory lane, and the Xfinity series for RCR, and we've been working real hard to get our cars, you know, back where they need to be, and big effort from all the crew chiefs, including Danny Lawrence. They've worked really hard to get us where we need to be, and This feels good. Me and Nick had gotten a run off a couple wins a couple years back together, and we felt like you put us back together that we could go do it again. And that's only our, what, second race this year, third race?
Yeah.
One and a half. He took a break. And
I got a little trouble at Daytona, but I'm back with it.
So, you put us together. We're pretty good duo. Obviously, it looks like we've got a pretty good win percentage together, and it's nice to be back with him in that group. And love the Xfinity Series. And I thought the package, you know, it was different type of racing. Fans had to love how tight we were together. Definitely kind of hard to pass that lead guy, but we made a pass for the lead. A couple of them getting there. Pushing and shoving. I went back to sixth a couple times and made it back through there. So that's pretty cool to see that type of race. And it's different. It'll be interesting to see what the fans think. And I thought it was pretty exciting and fun. It reminded me of like go-kart racing back in the day a long time ago. And it's what you had to do to move people to kind of push and win.
You know, Austin Dillon has come so far. I can remember, Joe, you and I have an Austin and Ty actually at one time on the show. Back when they first started out, look at them now. Just amazing to see the progression of both Austin and Ty, but really Austin Dillon, good on him for getting out there, doing what he needs to do to win the race. Daytona 500 winner in the Cup Series. He's having a good year.
I don't think that they get enough credit for how good they are. And really, Austin Dillon and Ty Dillon both are part of Richard Childress Racing, part of the fabric of Richard Childress Racing. And they have joined the team and been a part of the Cup Series program at a time where Richard Childress Racing has been at its worst. And really, the entire team has struggled immensely, not just them as a driver, but yet they always cycle their way to the front,
right?
And get back up there. You don't see Ryan Newman standing in victory lane every other weekend.
Right.
You don't see any of the RCR cars standing in victory lane every other weekend.
Not like you used to, right?
No,
back
exactly.
In the
Richard
day.
Childress Racing used to be a powerhouse.
Yes.
And not that they aren't a powerhouse still, but they have lost their footing and they're gaining it back. You're seeing the speeds that the three car is having on a Sunday now. You're seeing, you know, a regular top 10 appearance in happy hour. You're seeing a regular top 15 appearance in time trials now. And you're seeing the progression step forward. Now, we've been saying that for a long time. And a top 10 and a top 15 is not why Richard Childress Racing is in business. They are in business because they were winners.
That's right. And they need to win.
Exactly. So they need that speed back. And I think that there isn't a team working harder in the garage area other than Hendrick Motorsports right now, because I believe that they're in the same gap.
Yep.
But really, RCR is definitely, you know, showing that they're back in on the speed contention side. It was only a couple of years back where, you know, the two car, the three car in Xfinity, and even the one were powerhouses, and
yep,
and they were running up front every single time that they roll out on the racetrack. And really, when you look at Daniel Hemric, he's been carrying that RCR flag all year. He's been the guy that's up front contending for wins, but he hasn't got there yet.
No.
And really, Richard Childress Racing hasn't got a win yet up until this year, or up until this race
this past weekend. Yep.
And, it was rain-shortened. Did they execute the entire race? No. Did they execute it the right way and call the weather? Absolutely. Did he have a good run? Yes. But I think the guy who carries the flag for RCR still, even though he didn't win, is Daniel Hemric. He was right there. He finished second.
Yeah.
So
good weekend for RCR.
A great weekend for RCR, and I think you're going to see more of that as we progress through the season.
I know we're getting tight here. We got to hit a break, but I got to ask your opinion of the package that we've seen in the Xfinity. Did you enjoy it?
I didn't enjoy it as much as the All-Star package that they had in the Cup Series, but it wasn't all Cup Series guys in behind the wheel, and
right,
it was a different style of racing. The package that I seen, the closeness, loved it. Absolutely loved it. The fact that you couldn't pull out and get a slingshot style pass by somebody, I didn't like that aspect of it.
Work in progress.
I think it's a step in the right direction.
Right.
It was a hell of a lot more exciting than today's Cup race. Now, they were spread out. They wrecked some stuff today.
Right.
And that brought them back together. But overall, the racing style that I seen the Xfinity guys have at Michigan, a step light years in the right direction because they still had the speed. I didn't like the fact that at the All-Star race, the Cup guys looked like they were doing 7 miles an hour. I hated that.
Right.
Where the Xfinity cars still had the speed and looked like they were flying. I think you're going to see a completely different race. I know we've seen a similar package at Indy last year. I think when they roll this package back out at Indy, I think that it's going to be a whole different complexion again.
Just like fine-tuning a motor, right? Just like
NASCAR's,
turning
the screws. NASCAR's turning some big screws.
Yes, they are.
They're changing headers. They're changing intake. They're changing pistons. They're changing everything to do with this package.
Good.
And they need to.
Yeah.
And they need to continue doing that until they figure it out.
Yeah.
But I just like the fact that they're trying it.
Yes.
The fans want it. The fans are crying for it. I'm crying for it.
Yep.
I think you are as well.
Yep, yep.
I hate boring racing, and I think Saturday's race in the Xfinity Series was light years ahead of what we have seen at a place like Michigan.
Very refreshing to hear. Let's give NASCAR some kudos for, you know, the effort and what they're doing to make
100%.
things better. 100%. Yep. Good deal. A quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR Pinty's Racing. They're going to be back on track this coming weekend in Ontario. Jukasa Motor Speedway, Cayuga, if you're new.
If you're old. Cayuga, if you're old.
Cayuga, if you're old. Jukasa is
new.
The new name and brand new racetrack, and that's where the NASCAR Pinty Series is heading. And we're going to talk to a guy that is probably more excited than I would be. At Christmas getting a new Corvette. I'll bet you Cole Powell is even more excited than I could have possibly been getting a new Corvette.
Yeah, newsflash, you're not getting a Corvette for Christmas.
Well, you can always hope. I'm going to hit this break right now. We'll be back with Cole. Stay with us.
Hi, this is David Pearson, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do it too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Looking for victory.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90
takes you inside the sport like no one else.
One car upside down, on fire.
The biggest names in NASCAR.
This is Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano,
Kevin Harvick,
Jimmy Johnson,
Kyle Busch,
Martin Truex Jr. on your home for NASCAR.
All year long.
Checker, 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 checker.
Keselowski just fired.
Got it.
All right, let's go finish this thing.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Yeah. Or on your phone when you get out of the car.
All right, I'm out of here.
With the SiriusXM app.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Hear every pitch
of the 2018 season on SiriusXM.
Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app.
Plus, expert analysis
24/7
on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
We have a go green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
I want my MPG.
you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Okay, I better hit the mic. That's me. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the Racetime Radio studio. Welcome aboard here tonight. You picked the right time to tune in. Our next guest, well, I'll tell you, he's excited as a kid in a candy store or a fat guy with a brand new box of Smarties. We got Cole Powell all lined up and on the hotline, getting ready to go for Jucasa this weekend in his NASCAR Pinty's ride. Cole, how are you tonight? You got that three car ready to rip or what?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing fantastic. Hey, you've been turning a lot of practice laps. You must be ready to roll.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get through the week here and get to Jucasa Saturday. We had a test last week that I thought went really well. The car was really consistent, and that's really all I can ask for in a car, is to be fast and consistent, and I feel like we have that. So bring on oval racing.
You went out there and finished sixth in the race opener or the season opener at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. First off, you turned a ton of heads by doing that. Hats off to you and congratulations on a hell of a run, at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Let's take a rewind before we do like a huge prep and get ready for Jucasa. We got to talk a little bit about that debut that you had over there in Bowmanville.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We had a pretty good car all day. Just fought really tight. Just tried my best to run a really clean race and finish all the laps. And it ended up finishing sixth. So that worked out, since our goal was to just kind of stay into the top 10 and move on to Jucasa. So we checked off everything that we wanted to do. A win would have been really, really nice. But for a first time on a road course, I can't really complain about a sixth place.
I can tell you one thing, and Jeff Gottlieb, your spotter, can definitely attest to this. The first time you guys drove off into turn one, it was like the second lap of the race. I turned to Jeff. I said, "Well, the kid's got no fear." You threw it down into turn one like you were a road course ace, my friend.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Jeff actually got to, he just won with Johnny Sauter on Friday, so. That's pretty cool, so hopefully we can bring some of that to Jucasa. But the road course racing was definitely different. The main thing that really shocked me is how spread out it really gets, and you have your own race within the race. Me and, I think it was Kerry Mix, were in our own little battle while the leaders had kind of checked out, and we were fighting for 7th, 8th, and 9th, which is kind of cool. You don't really see that in oval racing, I learned a lot, so looking forward to getting back there and improving at sixth place.
Well, you got to be careful when you get out there and you're running along with Kerry Mix. You be careful. He's a crafty old veteran, and you know what, Cole? If you get too close to him, crazy old buzzard knock you right off the track.
I learned that he's a pretty good road racer, so he let me go a few times on the back straightaway, and then I kind of checked out, and then he couldn't catch me. But I look forward to racing with him again.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. Kerry Mix, what a talented guy. He's definitely exciting on those road courses. And to run alongside him, you stayed with him and got by him. I'll tell you what, you're well on your way on those road courses. And good thing, because you got some more of them coming up.
Yeah, I guess the race simulator at home panned out pretty well. It worked, and Ed for letting me take his Corvette for some hot laps around there helped pretty good as well. So I'm a little more confident going to the next road race, but we can all we can do is just keep trying.
Cole, let's talk a little bit about the testing that you've done getting ready for Jucasa. Obviously, you're not going to give away too many secrets because it was testing. But you did some laps at Delaware Speedway. I even seen some video at Jucasa. Just getting lots of seat time. What are you noticing the biggest difference? As a guy that has driven lightweight cars with big tires in the past, now to driving a heavy car, now you're getting some laps, and obviously you've done some ARCA stuff at some big tracks, but what's it like muscling one of those big taxi cab style cars around with lots of horsepower at these short tracks?
Yeah, and that's basically what it is. It's a big, heavy taxi cab. They don't stop well, so the main thing that I've had to adapt to is just saving brakes. Jucasa, you're not really on the brakes that much anyway. We went to Delaware just to shake it down, and just doing little 20-lap runs, you can kind of feel the brakes have a bit of fade to them. So just something to kind of tuck under your helmet for longer races at short tracks. And it's all just about conserving your stuff, saving those rear tires and saving the brakes. Other than that, they don't drive like a late model, but it is a stock car with fenders, so that aspect's the same. But, it's just conserving your stuff is what I'm kind of learning with these NASCAR Pinty's cars.
It definitely doesn't drive like a modified, though.
No, definitely not like a modified, no.
I wish I had my tires. Yeah, I can hear you now.
I bet you the modified handles better going in reverse around
this. Incredible. Getting back to the oval tracks this coming weekend, that's got to be welcome news. That's like coming home for you, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited to get back racing on an oval. It's what I've always done. It's what I know, so I'm feeling pretty confident about Jucasa. All we can do is the car's prepped, ready to go. Just needs a few stickers on it, and it's pretty good. I was happy with how consistent the car stayed through longer runs, and I was able to put the car where I wanted it, and it was going pretty well. So that's all you can really ask for in a day test. And yeah. All we've got to do is just keep trying and knocking on the door here at Jucasa. I think we could be a contender.
Absolutely. Now, one thing I will point out, and we kind of talked about at the beginning of the show, is Fast Eddie, that Fast Eddie team is going to be one of the busiest teams in all of Canada this weekend. Of course, one entry is going to be over at Jucasa with the Pinty Series. The other entry is going to be with a late model, a pro stock car, out in Riverside. Are you helping Jay at all on the late model side of things?
No, not really. He's taken off this week, I think, to head down. He's running Riverside as the track, correct?
Yeah, yep. Riverside Speedway.
Yeah, so he's going to be gone. So he's not going to be able to come to Jucasa, obviously, because he's racing there. He's taken one of the crew guys with him down there. And we haven't really talked too much about late models because we're going to be competitors against each other at Jucasa for that 25 grand to win. So we kind of keeping the closed book on that kind of stuff. But I'm sure he'll be good. The car seems like it's pretty prepped, and, I mean, he knows his way around that place. So best of luck for him, and hopefully the Fast Eddie and EHR have a good weekend coming up with both of us.
Well, right before the Jucasa 25K to win, you're going to be at the shop, aren't you? You're going to be over at the shop just measuring what he's got because he went out there and spanked all you guys last year.
Yeah, he seemed to be pretty good. They had the winning setup for sure. We weren't there when he won, so
oh, okay.
I can't say he spanked me. But they did a great job. So I'm sure they're going to have that same setup in the car, and I'm sure it's going to go pretty well. So my dad and myself have our work cut out to go beat that three car.
Well, what you're going to have to do this coming weekend when you're out there, Cole Powell, you're going to have to get Jeff to not only have, you know, like he's going to be in constant communication with you, he's going to have to dial in Racetime Radio on one of the other channels on his radio. So when you're out there on that big, beautiful Jucasa Speedway and you're way out front and everybody else is behind you, you're going to be able to say, okay, Jeff, dial me in to the action at Riverside. I want to see how Hathaway's doing. So you'll be able to listen to the race in one ear and run the race at Jucasa at the same time. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, yeah, that would be pretty cool. So, hopefully the car is hooked up that good where I can listen to a radio show while I'm winning a race. I don't think that's ever been done.
No.
But, yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Well, it's possible. You can do it. But I'll do my part. You do yours.
Hey, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be an outstanding race. So what's the plans for the weekend? When are you going to head to Jukasa? Is it a one day in and out, you guys, or are you going to head there Friday and make a weekend out of it?
No, I'm just going to make a one day of it. It's just a one day show, no parking, the haulers or anything the day before. I think hauler parking's at 9. We test at or practice at 1:30 to 2:30 or something like that, and then qualifying at 5:30 and race at 8. So I'm just I'm going earlier in the morning. I'm only probably an hour and a half away from Jukasa, so it's not too bad of a drive. Get a good sleep in my own bed the night before and see what we can't do Saturday.
You gotta love it when a plan comes together. Final question for you tonight, Cole. I know you've only got one race under your belt. That was CTMP. You're heading into your second race. What's the NASCAR Pinty Series to you? I know you've done ARCA. You've done, of course, the Modifieds, the NASCAR Modifieds. You've got whales and tons of laps and wins and a late model. You've been in super late model. How does NASCAR Pinty stack up so far? Is it better than what you thought? Is it as good as what you thought? Or do they still got some more proving to do before Cole says, hey, man, this is it?
Yeah, no, it's a really well-run series from what I can see, just being there for one race. I can compare it. It's really exactly like the modified racing where the tech procedure is the same, pumping motors is the same, going through the scales is the same, parking haulers. Everything that the modified did is it's pretty much the same as the NASCAR Wheel and Modified series. It's definitely a professional series. Everybody's a professional acting and throughout the whole day, and I have nothing bad to say about it, and I hope I never do. So it seemed to went well the first day at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, and I'm hoping that it goes just as well at Jukasa. But I can't knock it for anything. It's a really well put together and professional series from what I've seen in one race.
You know what? And that's saying a lot too, Cole, because you've got a lot of experience on both sides of the border. That's going to bode well for everybody in the NASCAR Pinty Series. To hear that from a guy that's been there, done that, and now doing the NASCAR Pinty stuff, that's cool to hear. And that's why I wanted to ask you that, to see how it was going. That's cool.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait to travel with the series and continue the full journey of 2018 running with EHR and the NASCAR Pinty Series. I'm super excited to travel Canada as well. I know last time we touched on, I think I raced in 42 states or something like that across America, but I've never left Ontario and Canada. So that'll be pretty cool too, for an experience for me to go race and see what the rest of Canada's like. So I'm trying to get through this week as quick as I can, because I'm super excited to get to Saturday.
Well, you got to love it, bud, and get ready. Jamie has been nice to you so far. She's going to be on your butt. She wants that checkered flag at Jukasa, and I think she's got the right driver in the seat.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't think anybody wants it more than I do. So hopefully when they're down there with the late model, they can bring home a trophy, and hopefully us with the NASCAR Pinties, we can bring home a trophy and maybe have a few cold ones at the end of the day and share each other's stories. So that would be the best plan that could work out. Sometimes they don't always work out that way, but I know we have two really good prepared race cars that could go be contenders to win. So that's all you can ask for going into a race.
Good deal. You guys have done your homework. Cole, good luck. Go out there and go get it, man. We will be in touch, and we'll get you back on this program real soon.
Good deal. Thanks for having me, and I always enjoy talking to you guys. So you guys take care.
Absolutely. That's Cole Powell. You can catch him out. He drives the number 3, Team 3 Red. You can follow him along at Team 3 Red, and watch out. He's gonna be one of those guys, Junior. I know you're going to be spotting for the 27, but you got to watch at 3.
Yeah, you definitely have to. He's a crafty guy. He's very aggressive. It's no surprise hearing that he's got to, you know, kind of scale back a little bit and learn how to save those brakes and tires because he's so aggressive all the time. And you know, that's a good thing that you want in every one of the drivers that drive out there that put on the show that you're going to pay to watch. So Cole Powell is going to be a guy that everybody needs to watch in practice and time trials all the way through the day because he's a guy that definitely can sneak up there and get it. Obviously, the three car, there's no surprise if that three car is up front. It's got all the good parts on it.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And that's what you want. And definitely you pair that up with an aggressive driver like Cole Powell and look out. Obviously, it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. He's still going to have his rookie stripe on. I know he's not technically a rookie because he ran.
He should be in the rookie battle.
He's not.
But he should be.
But he ran the Whelen series, which is, you know, considered a step up.
It's considered
a step up from Pinty's and he won that rookie battle already. So
yes.
He's not a rookie in my books anyways.
No,
but,
he's not.
But he's definitely a rookie in this style of racing and he's gonna be learning every time he straps in. So I can't say enough nice things about the guy. He's a great wheel man and I sometimes hate racing against him because he's so aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll always call him on the inside.
Very good.
He's a great cat.
Well, I'll tell you what. You want to be at Ducasse. If you're going to be in this province of Ontario, do not miss the NASCAR Pinty Series at Ducasse this Saturday coming up. And listen to me. Don't forget to bring your earbuds and your iPhone, your electronic device, and get to racetimeradio.com. Click on our live stream, and you'll be able to watch the NASCAR Pinty Series, and you can join the rest of the world and listen live to the Ron McGilvery Chev Buick GMC 150 live from Riverside International Speedway. We're all in for a good day come Saturday. It's going to be pretty wild. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, NASCAR Camping World Series truck driver, we've got Grant Enfinger, going to join us live. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, fans, this is Don Kwasniewski, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Have a go, Green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at dawsondental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit bobbleheadscanada.ca.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Got it, gone. Here every
every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the race leader off too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Race Time Radio. SiriusXM 167. Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight here on Race Time Radio. Junior, it feels like my arms are getting shorter. Either that or this thing keeps getting moved further away. Let's get back to the hotline and welcome in our next guest. Fresh from Texas Motor Speedway with a fourth place finish in his NASCAR Camping World Truck Series machine. We got Grant Enfinger with us. Grant, how you doing, buddy? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I'm doing great. No, it's good to talk to my Canadian friends again. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha, buddy. Not a bad weekend at Texas for you. A top five finish. You gotta love that.
No, overall it was a good race for us. Good finish, and I think we're building some momentum to get through this summer stretch.
You tried to make some adjustments on the right side of the truck about, 10 laps into the thing? But it seemed like it battled back. That flat right side helped a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely wasn't playing that way, that's for sure. my teammate Matt Crafton got to the inside of me going into three, and it was really early on in the race. And so I gave him a couple extra feet down there to make sure we didn't tear anything up. And then next thing you know, it felt like it had turned me right. Just no grip in the outside groove there, especially the beginning part of the race. But really, really most of the night, there just wasn't any bit of a second groove. And had my hands full there, flattened out the right side a little bit. And got caught up in some other stuff along the way, too. It was definitely an eventful night for us in Texas.
Definitely. We'll call you Grant Enfinger, the on-track fabricator. How about that?
Exactly. So this time, fortunately, it worked out. I've fabricated them where they wouldn't run before either. So try not to do that.
Brad Moran would get kind of upset if you guys do the wrong thing at the right time, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Incredible.
Grant, talk to us a little bit. You guys had a really cool, a program going on the marketing side. Protect the Harvest. Talk to us a little bit about that and what you guys are doing to bring awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an organization started by Forrest Lucas, and basically it's to call out some of the bigger organizations and extremists that are kind of trying to hinder the farmers and pet owners and sportsmen and just basically kind of looking out for our American lifestyle. So. Basically, it calls out big organizations that are, for more or less not putting the money in the right hands and kind of doing the wrong thing. So definitely a good organization to be involved with, Protect the Harvest. And we've had those guys on, our friends at Champion Power Equipment and Curb Records. So between that and our friends at Thor Sport Racing, Duke and Ryan at Thor, That's what's keeping us racing. So thank you to all those guys that are making it possible for us.
Well, you do a good job too, representing each and every one of them, Grant Enfinger. When you get to Gateway, that's a track you really like going on. That's your next race. What's the thoughts heading into it?
Well, actually, Gateway's in 2 weeks. We go to Iowa this weekend, but I'm really, really looking forward to Gateway with the new pave, but kind of the opposite of that at Iowa. Iowa's got a really old surface on it, and it's getting really bumpy. So really looking forward to both of those races. So, both of them kind of share a little bit of similarities. You kind of go either way. It's got some intermediate tendencies at both of those racetracks, but they're really kind of short tracks. So kind of a little bit of a crossbreed for both of those races. And like I said, I feel like we built some momentum in Texas, and we got a really long summer stretch coming up, so hopefully we're able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, I forgot about Iowa. How about that? There you go.
Everybody forgets about Iowa.
I'm
just kidding.
You get one of those corn gas trophies. They're one of the coolest trophies in NASCAR.
It really is. It really is. So I was fortunate enough to win a race there in the ARCA Series a few years back. So hopefully we're able to duplicate that into this truck success this weekend.
Well, and, you know, when you get back to those tracks that have got the character in them, it kind of takes you back to your roots at Mobile, right?
Absolutely. So I love those places. It seems like the older services and the places where it's got a lot of bumps and a lot of character, I think it makes for better races, too. But it definitely fits more of my driving style where you're racing the tires and you're slipping and sliding all night long. I definitely love those places.
Do you get much time to hang out with your teammates? Like Matt Crafton, do you guys hang out much and get a chance to compare notes, just talk?
We do. You know, especially last year, I was calling him and talking to him all the time about places that I've never been before and places that I've never been before in a truck. So definitely leaned on him for a ton of advice last year and still this year, you know, whenever we got different setups we're going through or just, you know, lean on him for advice all the time. So he's definitely the veteran of our group. So I'd say, myself, Ben Rhodes, and Matt Snyder, we're always picking his brain more than the other way around. I'll say it like that.
Grant, obviously you're an old school racer. You love all things performance. We're gonna talk a little bit of fun stuff here instead of talking about work. But did you go down into turn one and two or turn three and four and watch any of those Indy cars go through there and check out the sheer speed that those guys were carrying this past weekend over at Texas?
Man, it is incredible,
isn't it?
And honestly, I don't understand. They just have so much grip. It's unbelievable to watch those guys go down the corner. To me, the straightaway, they're going really, really fast, and that's cool, but the fact that they're carrying so much speed through the center of the corner is just incredible.
It was like nothing I've seen in a long time. Those guys were carrying some ridiculous speed through three and four. I wish I was there to watch it. That, like, it was mind-blowing watching those cars go. I could just imagine being there.
It is incredible. So I definitely say it's worth the price of admission to go to one of those races, and I think our races sell themselves too. We get wild and crazy out there. So I think anybody that was out of Texas this weekend, I think they saw a really good show.
Yeah, good stuff. I know I can't wait for you guys to get up here to the Silverado 250 weekend again. I know I'm rushing summer, which isn't a good thing, but I'll tell you what, I love watching you guys at CTMP when those trucks roll in. Man, that's thunder. It's awesome entertainment. And I know you guys do a great job behind the wheel. It didn't go well for you last year. I don't think it was the last year or the year before. Things didn't go the way you planned it. But I know you guys have definitely got that track owes you one, Grant.
Yeah, no, we're definitely looking forward to getting back there. And really, I mean, Moss for the whole community just supports that race so well. It we have an incredible turnout for there. I would venture to say that that's one of our best turnouts for the long will be at Mossport. So really great facility. A lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to getting there. And I tell you what, we met some intense Canadian rednecks, which I didn't even know that was possible. But we met quite a few of them there last year, and it was definitely an eye-opening experience. You know, I think people always look to the south for stuff like that, but I'm telling you, y'all got a lot of them up there.
Oh, dude, we got them. We give Alabama a run for its money on the redneck side. Guaranteed.
You do, trust me.
The only difference is we only have long guns, and our beer's stronger.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, we just elected a guy here in the province of Ontario that's going to lower the price of beer, so that's why we voted him in. Incredible.
You can't make that stuff up.
No. I'm telling you the truth. Grant, this has been great catching up with you, buddy. We don't do this often enough. I know we got to get you back on here more often, and you got to make your way to Victory Lane, and there's a lot of races in between now and CTMP. we got lots of opportunity to get you back on here.
I agree. So hopefully we can get this Ford F-150 in the victory lane pretty soon, and we'll try to be back on the show after that.
You want to believe it. Do me a favor. Next weekend, when you get together with Crofton, tell him I said, hey, tell him I got a pair of pants for him. If he wins at CTMP, he'll look great in victory lane.
All right, will do.
You're the man, Grant. Thanks so much for the time tonight, buddy.
Thank y'all.
You bet. Grant Enfinger. Watch him go, Joe.
We should have
always
told
a lot
him,
of fun.
We should have told him not to go to Gateway this weekend.
Yeah.
Just to make it clear.
Yeah. Don't go to Gateway.
Nobody
go to
Gateway.
Iowa.
Yeah. Nobody go to Gateway this weekend. Go to Iowa this weekend.
And then Gateway.
There you go. Yeah.
I want to say one thing. Doug Gonder, I know Doug listens to the program all the time. Doug, you heard that buzz in that line, right? It's a cross channel. It's coming from Bell Canada. Doug.
Yeah.
Listen to me. We need your help. You know I've called a million times. We need your help, Doug.
Yeah.
That's all. I just wanted to say
it. What happens when you're trying to do a national radio show
yeah.
in the middle of nowhere?
Yes.
I mean, like, we are in the sticks.
Yeah.
But Bell, I think, just has three lines, and then they just share it amongst 1,800 people.
That's what it is. Out here where we are, where the Racetime Radio studio is, they ran out of lines. And I don't know whether they've doubled up on them or something.
I could hear a lady talking.
So
in my
could
ear.
I. This
yeah.
time I could.
Yeah, I could hear somebody
buzz.
Dial the phone. And
yeah.
Anyways.
Incredible.
Anyways.
Cross-channel. We got to get it fixed, and they can't blame it on dampness.
Maybe.
Because it's been nice and dry here.
Maybe we could get a discount.
Do you think?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Always shop for a discount, man.
Well, we could try.
We could deal with a slight hum if we get our phone lines for half price.
Incredible. Incredible.
Now, don't you wish you could get half price on your hydro, and then we'd be all good?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would be fantastic. you got to love this time of the year, right? I look outside the window, and it's still daylight.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yep. And we should be racing.
Yeah.
We should be racing right now.
Well, you got a big weekend coming up. You're going to head to Ducasa.
Yep.
The 2017 team.
For Rangier.
Yeah. It's
going
to be a lot
Rangier.
Of fun.
Yeah. It should be pretty cool. I was talking to Whitey a little bit this week, and by the sounds of it, they've got everything dialed in, and they've already turned some laps at Ducasa, so that's definitely a good thing. DJ's coming off of a cup race over at Michigan, so
yes.
he's gonna be gung ho. Obviously, he was super fast last year. In the fall brawl, he went out there, got the pole, and was running up front basically for the whole show until the incident with the 76 car. But DJ was definitely on point last year. And by the sounds of it, there's a lot of really good competitors. One thing that I'm going to point out is Petey Shepard.
Yes.
Petey Shepard's got a heck of a piece put together for Ducasa by all accounts with Jacombs and with Dave Jacombs with that 79 car that
they
got put together.
They're going to be a threat, buddy.
They're going to be a threat to win for
yes,
sure.
They are.
And as well, you've got the 3, you've got the 17, you've got the 27. I mean, the list is going to continue on. Obviously, the 47 rolling in with some momentum. The 74
yes.
car now getting more and more comfortable on the ovals.
Steckley's crew?
There's 15 cars that can win the race here.
Yes.
Like, we're talking 15 suitable cars that can go out and win the race. And then as well, I know that Joey McComb and those guys, went out and turned some laps as well in testing, and we're really happy with the car. So Joey McComb and those guys, you can't write them off.
That's
you know?
Right.
And when you
Joey
look at...
Joey has been one of those guys that has progressed every single year.
Absolutely.
His teams do.
Yeah.
Love Joey McComb. Yeah, that guy is awesome.
CBRT is definitely, like, their team is growing leaps and bounds every single year. And, they put on some very competitive race cars onto the racetrack at CTMP and just the same on the ovals. So looking forward to seeing this race. I think this is going to be a different complexion than what we've seen out of the Pinty series on an oval in a long time.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're in the province of Ontario. Make sure you get to your short track. Make sure you get to Ducasa. Catch the NASCAR Pinty series at that track this coming weekend. Again, don't forget to take your iPhone and your earbuds so you can listen
100%.
Live to Riverside. We're going to have live coverage from out there. While I'm at it, don't forget to visit us. If you're out in Newfoundland, don't forget to get to the track this coming weekend at Eastbound International Speedway.
You've got a busy weekend
we
lined up.
We have got a huge, huge weekend coming up. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight. Got to thank Susie Q here. Got to thank the guys back in Toronto. Got to thank you, Junior. And how about all of our guests and all the listeners? Couldn't do all of this without everybody. So that's going to do it for us. But that's stick a fork in it. We're done. Have a good week. And we won't catch you back here next Sunday, but the week after we will. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Have a good one, everybody. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.